The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
It is Monday, the 14th of June, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Remember, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612, or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. Or 325-4259. Good morning and welcome to On the Clock. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Today's show is not really an open line, but a what's in the news show. But call in with what you think should be in the news if you're not interested in what is in today's paper. But I've got lots to talk about this morning. I got a long list. So call in where you fit in or text in. We're talking about the weekend of violence, which I'm sure is overwhelming for many of us, especially the people that are living in these communities, right? I am sure it is overwhelming. But I asked my producer to play that song this morning for me because I know that song from as a little girl. My dad, I cousins to the Carters, Cody Carter, and the music store. My dad was cool with them. We always had Bahamian music and Caribbean music in the house, always. And that song, Officer Blue or Officer Brown, I had my own little cassette with that, right? Like, that was my song. I had my own cassette with that on, and that's one of the first songs I remember. And one of the first songs I remember about the police. And you see that first line in that song, the first part of that song, when the police say, we use beating up on this woman and we come to deal with that, right? Like, when I was growing up, there's two things I knew about the police. One is, their job is to protect and serve. Now, that'll tell you how American I grew up, because that's really an American thing, right? To protect and serve. But also this idea that the police is there to help people and to solve problems. Right? The police have always been my friends because the police's job is to help me. The police's job is to keep my community safe, to keep the people I love, even the people I don't love, the people who live around me, the people who don't live around me, is to keep them safe and to ensure that we all can enjoy this thing we call a right to a life free of violence. Now, of course, as a little children, I know nothing about no right to a life free of violence, especially in a town where we feel like we have the right to beat children, anybody's children. How could you grow up with that idea? But I always grew up with the idea that that the police are my friends. And the police's role in society is to solve problems. Now, I would like us, as a community, as a collection of people, maybe we could get the government's help, maybe we can't. Let's not worry about them. We need to figure out how to create an environment where the police could get back to doing that, could focus purely on doing that, helping us solve problems, helping us resolve issues, helping us stay safe, and helping us live this life where we have a right to a life free of violence. Now, this isn't about dissing the police. I'm very concerned, though. I'm very concerned about what appears to be a culture developing within and without, outside of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, that, like, we have a right or a duty to kill the bad guys, to get rid of them. And this is particular to me because just last week or the week before, in the midst of the U.S. Embassy's decision to raise the flag, I was on the receiving end of a number of vitriolic statements where people suggested that I was the type of person that didn't deserve to live in the Bahamas, that should not belong here. And some people went as far as to say that I was the type of person that should be disposed of. So you see, this culture goes beyond the police force. And maybe it didn't even start in the police force. But we, as a people, have to decide how we're going to live. We have to decide what we're going to do, how we're going to govern ourselves. And it's not that, we're trying to ignore the police's obligation or duty or the state's obligation or duty to govern. But sometimes you just gotta govern yourself. We got plenty to talk about in the news today. I would like to say good morning to the three cars that boldly ran the red light at Shirley Street and East Street this morning. Even I was taken aback by the boldness of running a red light 7 seconds after it turned red. That must be some sort of record. But it's the boldness of doing it at the East Street and Shirley Street intersection, because you're driving straight down to Central. And if I were in charge of a police force in the downtown area, I would have CCTV and I would catch anybody who thought that they were going to run a red light over Shirley Street, right from East Street, and pass my police station and get away with it. I'm just saying, but I am not a police officer, so I ain't none of my business, apparently. Also, I would like to say good morning to Bay Street Medical, and I would like to encourage you to take care of your parking and traffic problem. The residents of New Providence should not have to deal with the obstacles caused by your lack of logistics, your inability to preserve money to pay for people to direct your clients and customers. And you may think that I am just outraged because some member of staff called out my name rudely as I was pointing out to him the car in front of us doing absolute foolishness. But really what it was is that the car in front of us almost knocked down a pedestrian in his haste to get off the road, even though he had nowhere to go. That driver couldn't figure out that it's his obligation to keep driving and turn around and come back. And if when he comes back, there's no space for him, or he causes an obstruction trying to get into the center, it is his duty to keep driving and turn around again until the way is clear for him to do what he wants to do. Why would that driver think that he has the right of way to obstruct traffic, to pull up on a sidewalk and obstruct pedestrians? Why? How'd you get so selfish, driver? And to the member of staff, I guess, who felt some umbrage that I would suggest to him that he focus on traffic management. None of us wants to see anybody get knocked down in the road. It's unfortunate that I had to see it almost happen. It's even more unfortunate for the pedestrian that almost got knocked down. Imagine that. Sometimes you just need a little perspective. I see we got a caller on the line, Arlington. Let's go to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning this morning.
Good morning.
I'm good yawning.
Yes, sir.
It'll be so good, and good morning to your listeners all over the world and your producer. But Ms. Green, it'll be so good if when you congratulate these people who run the red light, if you could. I know it might be difficult to be right in the same time you're driving and observing, but if you could get their license plate number, that would have been good too.
Boy, look here. First of all, I'd be in the passenger seat. When you see me taking down this information and making these reports, I'd be in the passenger seat.
Well, that's very good. That means you can do a little bit more. But
tell
me something, like in other parts of the world, especially the United States, I hear on the news, they'd be like, something like they could go back and look at the cameras which are supposed to be on these lights and still give you a ticket later down.
Yes, of course they can.
They still can take it to that over here?
Yeah, of course they can. You mean to tell me that these Biden, these honorable Biden, let's not forget that, would have spent millions of dollars on implementing CCTV monitoring systems and not have any mechanism to record the data? I mean, now that sounded, like, to be honest with you, that sounded ridiculous when I said it, right? Except we have a ankle bracelet monitoring system, and on multiple occasions, the public has been told, right, that we don't monitor them real time. We have to go back into the system if something happens and then go back and determine what the logistics say. I even had a person from Batelco tell me that they couldn't conduct diagnostics exercises with the information they was getting from their back room.
Well, it sounds like we are not getting value for our money for some of these people who we put in charge, or let's say the contracts with these honorable Boydem give to their friends, family, and lovers. We need to investigate that. We need to see if we're getting value for money, not just for the cameras, the CCC cameras or the traffic cameras or the drones. We need to find out, you know, these things where they'd be spending our millions of dollars on, that we really getting value for money.
Right.
Ms. Green, I can move fast, man. I want to move fast.
Go on.
Okay. First thing, I get the time right. I mean, I get the things you was calling off, all the scarlet and everything. I find all of them, mine gold and everything, nice and sweet. Not them corky said would it be in the food store, but come from somewhere in the world. Them real, real mine gold that we grew up with. And the hairy mango too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice tamarind. At least I wouldn't have seen it, you know, sometime, and I could have seen before. I had to see little things on the tamarind. Would you say when they turn it back, but these were some fresh set and everything.
Yeah, good.
And Dilly's them, you know, I get them green so I could ripen them myself and stuff like that. They had the tamarind sauce and everything, and I get the scarlet plum. They tell me the whole plumpy and reach it. I found them by the roundabout in Fox Hill.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I found them there. You know, I don't know if that's Friday or Thursday. You had some people on. I don't want you maybe remind me who they was. And I think you was breaking down what the LGBTIQZ and all of that meaning.
Oh, right.
I'm wondering if you get an opportunity, if you could break it down again, because I catch it when you was talking about the I.
Yeah.
The I meaning and all that stuff. And some of the words, the big sound like you had a caller, Bremen was on.
Yeah.
That was Thursday or Friday?
That was Thursday.
Yeah, maybe you could let us know who the guest them was, and if you could break down the LGBT, the definition of those letters them again, I wouldn't mind. But you say something about the beliefs.
Quick.
What's your point that you was making? And it sounded like you wonder if we give the police rights to do certain things. Let me tell you something. Some parts of the world, they carry on in some way. I know this is the Bahamas, and we have rules and regulations, and there's a small place and all that. It's family, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, Aaron. You say you're being accustomed to being cussed, and different people say funny things to them, and you talk about being in a being in a world or a place where less crime.
Less violence.
Less violence. Well, somebody is boy them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have no respect for themselves. They don't have no respect for life. They don't even like themselves. They can't respect or like nobody else. And let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they're picking up these guns and they're killing people. I don't know why would you. I know some people say, well, the police can't protect me. The police don't be there when we call. They take 30 minutes and 1 hour to reach, right? So we need to protect ourselves. But it's a law in this country say we shouldn't have no guns. So when you pick up a gun, you must keep in mind the same time while you're taking a chance to do whatever reason that you're doing it. that is a possibility your life could get take. And if you take a gun and you fire out of police or you pull that out of police, well, come on. Come on, what you expect to side when any life get take, police life or criminal life? But you got to think about what you're doing. You're an adult. These, you know, children, and some of these children, them, I'm not even ready to play with them if they could pick up a gun and talk with the gang or kill somebody or hurt someone or shoot out the police. No mercy, no pity. You understand? God forgive me if I saying something wrong, and I know God to judge us all. But we got to deal with them, man. They can't only, they don't respect, like they don't even care about themselves. They'll wipe you out. What we need them here for? To be pulling guns to shoot us up and kill up our people? Keep up the good work, Aaron. Thank you. I can't wait for you to explain what the definition of LGBT and all that means.
Okay, I can get to that in a minute, but I want to get to what you were talking about just now. So watch this. I agree with you. Anybody who will pick up a gun and fire it at the police, they are resolved, they resolute. They have determined what it is they going to do, right? This matter, while it still has to be investigated. See, that's a part of the point. They still got to investigate it. We can't just rely on what the eyewitnesses say and what the police say on the scene. It still has to be an investigation as to what down. And every single matter requires that, right? Like every single instance requires that. Now, this particular instance in Golden Gates, from what I have heard from several eyewitness accounts, right? I don't necessarily think we could just throw this in the pile of, oh, another reckless police action. I don't think that this one warrants that determination, although it still warrants investigation, right? Here's the next point I want to make here. You're right. We're dealing with people who don't love themselves, and how could they love other people, right? Not doubting that at all. Secondly, we do, and this is the point I was making, we as a community have to figure out what we're going to do. We can't wait on government policy. We can't wait on police protocols. We have to begin to organize and figure out how we're going to govern ourselves, because these people come from us. And here's a second point I wanted to make here is this, is that we have this idea that these guys picking up guns, these are the worst of the worst. But let me tell you something. A person who could be behind the wheel of a vehicle and drive it on a sidewalk, watching the pedestrians come in on the sidewalk they're entitled to be on, right? And don't stop their car? That's just as reckless as the person who picks up the gun, right? The people who drive on the road and are determined to force their way where they want to be, regardless of you having the right of way or the potential impact of their actions. Let me tell you something. Every single person that forces their way into the westbound lane on Cumberland Street after the fatality that occurred because somebody was doing the very same thing with no regard for life. Why don't we take them as seriously as we take the people who pick up the gun? I remember a story of a little boy, a little Haitian boy, who was killed by a hit-and-run driver, and the driver was charged $400. That's what that little boy's life was worth, $400. I'm just saying that if we shift our perspective slightly, maybe we'll be able to come up with better solutions. I can get back to that LGBTI thing in a minute. Don't worry. Let me get to this next caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Miss Green. How you doing this morning?
I good. Now, listen, before you start, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Watch this. There's plenty of things I want to talk about today.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to talk about the Royal Caribbean getting the seabed leases in the Crown land.
Yes, ma'am.
On PI. I want to talk about this story. 21 months after Dorian, officials reevaluating Dome recipient lease. I want to talk about the BPL power cuts, because I swear BPL told us a million times we wasn't going to have no more power cuts.
That's the thing. They just said, that it's a thing of the past.
Yeah, but I mean, I obviously living in the past.
Well, I guess their past is the average Bahamian person's future.
Yeah, hey, you see that by Leon Williams? Leon Williams, there's a clip that we play on Guardian Radio by him, and he references taking people into the future, right?
Are you going to talk about this vaccine? If you get the
vaccine holiday?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh yeah, I was going to talk about the vaccine holiday.
I don't mean to stray away from your topic. I just want to say something. Let me ask you a question. How many police officers in this country that you have an idea that there are, men and women?
I have no idea.
Okay, let's just say we give a number of 10,000.
Okay.
Okay, just hypothetically we use 10,000 for example. Okay, if you have, say out of that 10,000 is green, you have the average of maybe 14 to 2,000 officers take the vaccine.
Okay.
Okay, now that leaves you basically with 8,000 who
are unvaccinated.
They're either undecided or they refuse not to.
Okay.
Okay, now, if you have 400 people from a Junkanoo group who took the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
okay, and they want to have a Junkanoo rush out.
Uh-huh.
Now, they show in their proof that they've taken the vaccine.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Now, the police comes to harass them, right? I'm just saying, right? Or comes to
investigate. They investigate or give order. To interrogate whether
they're recorded. For a better word, give order, right? But the end of the day, Ms. Green, the police didn't take the vaccine. And these are the front lines people. So this don't make no sense, man, Mom.
Listen, I am very concerned.
Wow.
Listen, I'm very concerned about it. Because here's what, how can you create a policy or a plan without definitive timelines for the receipt of vaccines? You don't even know if you're going to get the vaccines, let alone when you're going
to
get them.
Then piggybacking off something what the great commissioner said, with the greatest respect to him this morning, right, uh-huh. is that a lady, I think that was a police officer who was giving an interview with him. I think uh-huh. it's Cop Talk or something like that they have. And I heard him said that it might come a time when you have no other choice. Well, so if it ever comes a time when you have no other choice or you try to make it mandatory, that will be the day you don't have no police force. Because the majority of police officers ain't taking it. And I will say that, I'm not speaking for the police, but speaking to a lot of them, and Ms. Green, the majority of them ain't taking it. That's straight up. So if your law officers, who you have on the front line to protect the protect its citizens and protect the country, if they ain't taking it, what you think about the citizens?
Yeah. I'm trying to maintain a neutral line, right?
That's wrong.
I'm really concerned about the plan, what the plan is. Like, I don't want to say anything that would discourage somebody who's committed to taking it from taking it, and I don't want to say anything that would encourage somebody who don't want to take it. Like, I don't want to say anything that would...
That's discrimination because, okay, in other words, so...
Hold on, me?
If I don't take the vaccine, uh-huh. that meaning... My constitutional rights has been
restricted
because I don't have a freedom of movement.
So
that means if I don't take the vaccine, that means my freedom of movement just mash up then.
Well, this is it. Thank you, DeWitt. let me go. I got another call.
Have a good one, ma'am. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Let's get to this caller quickly. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? All right, no problem. Let me read these texts, Arlington, and then let's get to a break right after these texts. The first text, good morning. When we open up for vaccinated people, they're going home and carrying COVID to those homes. Who was not vaccinated? Because not only those who have been vaccinated, but also those who were vaccinated can get COVID. The problem is some of those who in the group of vaccinated may have COVID and pass it on to others in the vicinity of the vaccinated. So does it make sense for those vaccinated to roam freely unmasked all night? Well, right? That's another question. Is it up to the household to determine what happens next? What if the breadwinner, what if the person in charge of the household is vaccinated and the other people are not vaccinated, right? And the question is, do the vaccinated have a duty to protect the unvaccinated? Since vaccinations do not prevent transmission of the virus. The text says there's only 3,000 police officers, give or take. I've got another text here. Hi, serial killers start by killing animals. If you start killing bats, killing humans won't be a problem. Hint, hint. But first of all, that is too serious of a subject matter to hint, hint at me with. But you're right. One of the strategies we need to employ, if we say we're about the business of reducing crime and violence, is we need to focus on childhood development. We need to focus on the environments that our children are being raised in, and more often than not, are raising themselves in. Another text, Miss Morning, Miss Green, sound like you talking about heaven, because that ain't happen. Which part was I talking? Were you talking about the fruit? I'm not sure. Anyway, it's a good time. Text me back, Texter. Give me some more context. I ain't sure what you're talking about. I see another call there on the line, Arlington. Let's get to that call quickly, and then we go to a break. Good morning, caller. You still there, caller? No? They're gone, Arlington. So we're going to go to a break, and when we get back, we're going to gather some of these thoughts. I'm going to respond to Pumpkin Eater and the Texter, and then we got a whole lot more in the news to talk about. We'll be right back after this break.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. Go out the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell the law. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. Go out the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell the law. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. You're tuned into 96.9 FM Guardian Radio, and thank you for joining me. Before we get into the show, I have something awesome for you. It is the 2021-22 Annual Budget Bites, Small Business Tax Concession and Relief Program. To level the playing field, Accelerate Bahamas provides small and medium-sized Bahamian businesses access to tax incentives like foreign investors currently have, including a new duty-free concessions to help start or expand small businesses. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Good morning. Good morning. I want to say thank you to my callers for joining the conversation this morning. I want to say thank you to my audience listening in. Sometimes it's important to hear what other people have to say and feel like I could come on here and talk and talk and talk all day. But it isn't just about that. And I really appreciate when DeWitt calls in and shares with us. I am very concerned about this announcement that the Prime Minister made on Thursday about a potential vaccination or vaccinated holiday, and then the announcement that soon he will reveal to us or outline some of the details for this new policy, ? Here's one of the things that troubles me greatly. Why was this announcement made at the opening of the Lyford Key School extension? Why would such an important announcement be made at an event like this? Wouldn't you have a press conference to announce this? Like with a timeline and things like that. I'm very concerned that that is where the announcement was made. I also want to know, before you even get into a vaccination holiday, where is the legislation or the guidelines for employees and employers and vaccinations? Is there a white paper? Is there a policy paper? Is there a document that we can pick up? Is there a paper from the Bar Association outlining the scope of the law and the scope that employers have and the protections that employees have? Do we have to beg the Eugene DePuch Law School to produce some information for the average Bahamian to guide them in their decision-making? But back to the Bar Association, back to the judiciary and the community of 2,000 plus lawyers, right? But there's an absence of discourse, of information to guide citizens in these important discussions. What are the protocols for unvaccinated people in the face of this vaccination holiday? And like we've said already, considering the virus can still be transmitted even if you are vaccinated, what rules will be put in place to protect the unvaccinated from the vaccinated? And then the logistics side. You don't even, what is the timeline for the receipt of vaccinations? And what is the protocol for vaccinations? Are we still just vaccinating anybody that comes into the center? Are we not holding vaccines to ensure that as many people as possible can become fully vaccinated in the shortest amount of time? And see, with this rights thing, we all understand the obligation to protect the minority, right? But is this vaccinated day about protecting vaccinated people? Or is it about giving privileges to vaccinated people? So I want to ask, are we focused on saving lives? Is that what we're still focused on? Or are we focused on saving the economy? Are we focused on getting people vaccinated? Which does not necessarily equate to or mean the same thing as saving lives. All I want to know is, where can I find this information? I see I got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock. Hey, good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning to your producer. Yeah, Aaron, you know, as far as the boxing paradigm,
yeah.
You know, I like what David said, but I wanted to, you made a comment as to why the statement was made at the Lifeinki school extension or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's because that's where they stay. They stay in the back there with big shorts, discussing, drinking tea, sipping coffee, whatever, drinking tea, discussing what it is to be, right? Now, my problem is, I have respect for the Prime Minister's office, but I have lost all respect for the PM because, you know, even over the past years, the talk show hosts have been de-emphasizing the messages that I was trying to put out to the sheep, right? But I know what's going on, you know. And so what happens is the vaccine holiday and the vaccine paradigm, from they ask for proof of vaccination, then the sheep should be pondering as to why they need that. That is going to be implemented for you to require. This, see, they're going to force you into the vaccine paradigm because they just give it time. And so they need to open up. So what they'll do is they will create a schism between the people. And then you're vaccinated, you could do this. If you ain't vaccinated, you could do it. But this is something that we know is going to happen. But they keep saying conspiracy theories because the mindless or the underread, educated sheep buying into status quo bias. Hence this scientific dictatorship. You're not going to get anywhere. It's only going to get worse. You know, so I wanted to make a comment, too, about the guy that was shot. But mm-hmm. I went to school with him. He's a human being. He was very educated. But he kind of became mentally unstable. All right, mm-hmm. He had sense, but he was in playing with a full deck. That's maybe the way he wanted to go, but it all stems from an incident from the fish market, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's sad. But you know, I guess that's the way he wanted to go out. But the thing is, the police them should be wearing cameras because I've witnessed incidents where somebody had a gun 5 o'clock, and the police still saying he got it 10 o'clock, and then they still killed him anyhow. So he doesn't need the cameras. to verify what they're doing. Maybe you might have been trying to detain him yourself. You never know. That's why the cameras are needed. But, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
As far as this vaccine paradigm, you know, see, I respect you. We need to have a real discussion on the science behind. You see the person that texts you, you're vaccinated, you still can contract the disease. Hence, we know that asymptomatic people don't really transmit the disease. They know this. Dr. Fauci, them come out and contradict themselves as the whole leap of scientific ideology and consensus. Even on ivermectin, all the truth is being revealed. But because, Aaron, please do me a favor, just listen to the words coming out of the Klaus Schwab mouth. About 4 years ago, he made a speech in Italy about, he said it out of his mouth, that within 10 years, we would be implanting brain chips into people and underneath the skin. This has nothing to do with me, you know. They expect a greater uprising in the world under the Economic Forum. We are all doomed. Read a book named The First Global Revolution, where they discuss how they will create a common global threat in order to unite the world and use global governance as a means to enslave the world, man. These people, we all, man, these people duped, man. We all lost, man. God help us all. We lost, all us.
Now, 52, I know you're gone. I ain't calling you back. I hope you're still listening. What I would like you to do is help people understand what it is you're saying by documenting it and putting it online in a coherent format, right? That's one of the biggest parts of our problems, is that we collectively cannot or have difficulty sustaining, maintaining a coherent dialogue over an extended period of time, right? So I'm begging you, document the information, because we've already seen, see, people can say, oh, 52 is talking about implants under the skin. We already have seen stories from the mainstream media. Do me a favor, call back caller. We've seen stories from the mainstream media where employers are using RFID chips for security purposes, for the collection of data around the place of employment, right? We've already seen it happening. So to say that those types of things are just wild conspiracy theories is unfounded and will only push people in the direction they already go in. But if we can begin to document what it is that we know, what it is that we think is important, and put it in spaces where Bahamians could access it, right? That's absolutely what we need. Got another text here. Morning, Miss. Oh, we're so smart, we won't even pull together. Well, I could be honest with you. It ain't about being so smart or dumb, you know. It's about social conditioning. It's about social conditioning. I see we got another caller coming in. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. I just called in. I got the whole conversation with 52 just now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a caller just like 52, and I understand what he's saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how about that younger person that understands what he's saying and is at the brink of letting go, at the brink of crashing his life?
Mm-hmm.
52 has got to take his time. And you know, think about those younger ones. Because what he just said just now, one would think that, oh, 52 is going to kill himself, you know? Because he, but I know, and you know, he wouldn't do that, right?
Yeah.
But that younger person that is listening to him just now, you know, if the Bible says these days would come upon us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a place for us to go, yes. He may not think I'm bothered about religion. I'm thinking about Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is the only way. Okay, you read your Bible and just listen to those words of love. Okay, stop reading those books that are going to destroy your mind, because that's what a lot of times that's what 52 talks about. Okay, but there's another book that he can read. Okay, now, the one of hope, you know, and receive love, man. Okay, love yourself.
Thank you.
Because you're better than that.
We can receive that message. And here's what I take from that caller. Thank you. Here's what I take from that. 52, you got to remember this. Just like the 1918 flu, the pandemic, right? This is a test of humanity. We are being tested, right? And the test is for us to maintain our humanity, right? And that means, first and foremost, that we will not have vaccinated and unvaccinated people turning against each other. That's the first thing. We will not do in this country. Because this is the test of our humanity, right? The second thing is that we remember that the single integral trait of this human experience is that we keep moving. We keep pushing forward. There is no going backward, right? And so what I take from that caller that came on after you, 52, is you still have a responsibility to yourself, to the older generations, but more importantly, to the younger generations, right? To maintain an environment, not of hope, but of knowing that we will survive and knowing that humanity will not be destroyed by anything, right? Our young people need that from us, 52. And that's what I am saying. Document what it is you believe and know to be true so that young people can have hope, not just pie in the sky hope, but hope that they can build a better future because their forefathers, like me and you, 52, are doing the work. We're documenting the information. We're having the conversations. We're making it accessible and available to these young people. And so that's what I took from your message. And for those of us that believe in Christ, hold firm to your faith, right? Because that faith is about faith in humanity and our incessant push forward. That is the test. Got some text here. It says, continue that text. It broke off text. Another text. Tell 52 if he don't want the vaccine, darn good. Leave me and others alone who have a sense of their own. Who is taking it? Well, I think if you really listen to what 52 is saying, 52 isn't trying to stop you from taking the vaccine. 52 is saying we cannot allow an environment where eventually people will be forced to take the vaccine. And in the same way you have your right to take it, others have the right to not take it, right? And I want to bring in, and maybe we can continue this tomorrow, a more important discussion about the state's obligation to all citizens, right? Because we are moving into very concerning territory. See, in the beginning of 2020, when I talked about the slippery slope, the things that we needed to pay attention to, well, we done slid down the slope. We are in the process of sliding. And we're not taking care of the details. And the state is not taking care of the details. And the state has, at the very least, an obligation of disclosure to us about what it is we are expected to do. I got another text here. In the short time, it is all about the rallies, and Brave seems to agree. His shooting from the hip comment is a deflection. Well, I don't know if it's a deflection. It's a great critique. More importantly, what I want to know is the PLP prepared? Like, do they have the capacity? Are they able to perform any differently? That's what I'm concerned about. Arlington, I see we got another caller on the line. Caller, we get to you very quickly. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? One more time. No, you gone? Sorry about that, caller. Yeah, but you know, I imagine that if the PLP were to take power, we would see very similar, if not the same, policies or lack thereof regarding the vaccine protocols. Got another text here. Aaron, people are dying because of these vaccines, and you basically have 2 years once you get it. Oh, Pfizer is a DNA changer to Bahama workers. Okay. Now, I'm going to read this text. Texter, I can't prove this. You can't prove this. We don't know. And that's a part of my concern is, do we have enough information to make clear determinations about what's happening and what we're seeing? We don't know if people are dying because of the vaccines. We don't know that you only have 2 years once you get it. We are not certain that Pfizer is a DNA changer. While we know that two Bahama workers have died, we do not know if it was due to complications due to COVID, or complications due to the vaccine, or complications due to something else. And the texter goes on to say, what are we trying to survive for, money or God? That is a very good question. Another text, the USA one-term playbook never changes. Remember Arthur McDuffie, Rodney King, and George Floyd. I don't understand the relation. I don't understand what it is you're saying there. Another text, if 52 can talk to people and not at people, perhaps his message would be better received. You can start the conversation by insulting people, calling them sheep. It creates the perception that you are being condescending in your approach, so you start off wrong right out the gate. Okay, I hear you. You know, I often levy that critique at politicians, even at social advocates like myself who are trying to create social change, right? I get you. I get you. 52, you hear that? The people want to hear you, you know. And what I would say, 52, is that let's not call them sheep. Let's acknowledge that a lot of people are operating out of fear of uncertainty, fear because of a lack of preparedness. Like, I don't have the skill set necessary to make the decisions I need to make for myself and my family members. When you realize that you don't understand the science yourself, but you have decided to put faith or trust in an institution and trust what it is that they have to say, then yeah, people, a lot of fear is what we're dealing with. And one of the ways that you can dispel the fear is with clarity of information, access to information, disclosure of information. We as a group, if the government won't do it, we need to create spaces where people can come together and ask questions and have questions considered and answered by industry professionals. Industry professionals can direct us to reputable and reliable resources so that we can then test the ideas and the concepts that we have. But like I say, my greater concern is with the lack of clarity around the rollout of these policies. And again, if you look at the latest COVID vaccination weekly progress sheet, as of the 11th of June, 2021, the total doses of vaccines administered are 68,119. Number of people who have received one dose of the vaccine is 50,292, which means that there are only 17,827 people fully vaccinated with two doses as of the 11th of June, 2021. That's a very small number of people. Upon which grounds are we giving, are we privileging these people over the others, over people who are unvaccinated, over people who've only had one dose of the vaccine? And what happens to the person who wants to become vaccinated but cannot access a vaccine? At what number of fully vaccinated people do you need to reach before you implement this relaxation of restrictions for this group of people? And then we look at the breakdown over the islands. And if from what everybody is saying, well, if from what the people in the tourism industry, Ministry of Health are saying is correct, right? If we really, or would the, let me rephrase that. If what the Prime Minister is saying is correct and we're doing this because we want to open up, right? If my presumption is correct that we're doing this because we want to open up to tourists, then why aren't we prioritizing, or why isn't our campaign for vaccination directly focused on family islands with major tourist enterprises? Why aren't we doing that? And why don't we have a full breakdown of those numbers per island? We only have the first dose, second dose breakdown for New Providence. I think people would feel more comfortable with the government's decisions if we had access to more information. And when the government said it was creating a COVID unit, why doesn't that unit involve or include a mechanism for engagement with the public, for answering questions, for publishing information? Got a text here, Ms. Green. That is why the FNM and Dr. Minnis is gone in the next election, because they are discriminating between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Well, I don't think that, if they were to go, I don't think that alone would be the reason. It's an interesting one, though. I don't think that alone would be the reason. And I could be honest with you, I think the vast majority of people are not going to give the prime minister a seriously bad mark for the rollout of the vaccinations. I think it's really going to be down to an accumulation of issues that they're going to face. And I don't know, Bahamians, we got to start organizing ourselves outside of political factions. We got to start organizing ourselves outside of professional spaces. We've got to start doing the work. There was so much I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk about the full-page letter from Fred Smith responding to Desmond Bannister, the BPL power cuts, the Royal Caribbean cruise line getting the Crown land and seabed leases. I think we're going to talk about some of this tomorrow, especially 21 months after Dorian, officials reevaluating dome recipient lists. Sound like somebody's running the country like a petty tuck shop again. Lots to get to tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining the conversation today. I am on my way out of here because you got to make way for Levon Miller and Unleashed at 11 a.m. Thank you, my producer. Thank you, my callers. Thank you, my texters and listeners. Have a great day, Bahamas. I'm going to show what police can do. I have a button pump like backstone. I'm going to introduce it to your jawbone. Box out your teeth till you moan and groan. Make your ears them ring like government phone. Drop up your nose up, they find your looks. Cause you shouldn't call me Babylon books.